This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop.
To negotiate successfully with North Korea or anyone else, it would be much harder a second time now that our credibility is shot.
Hillary Clinton now taking her criticism of President Trump overseas. But as our next guest lays out in his new op-ed, that's not all she's been up to. James Freeman is assistant editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and a Fox News contributor. He joins us now to explain. Good morning. Glad you're here.
Good to be here. Thanks, Ed.
You basically said in the piece what caught our eye was that basically, you know, she did this on the book tour domestically, but now it's almost a global grievance tour.
It really has become a global grievance tour. This week was in Australia. We saw earlier in India. And it's, I think a lot of Democrats have to be scratching their heads because there was a general recognition about the mistakes of the Clinton campaign in 2016. Gee, maybe he should have spent more time in the Midwest. Right. Maybe shouldn't have insulted a lot of people in middle America. Should have tried to understand their concerns.
But she seems to still be insulting people, still insulting Trump supporters. It was deplorables during the campaign.
Right.
She's still saying, not using that word, but basically saying the same thing.
Yeah, the India speech in particular, it was very much a deplorable speech, blaming racism, knocking people who were in economically depressed areas as not being her voters. Her voters were in the places where it was very rich and successful. And so now it's come around and it's more an attack on the president from overseas,
right,
saying that U.S. credibility is shot by his deciding to leave the Iran deal. I don't know how going overseas to make these comments a very well-heeled audience, as usual, with Hillary Clinton is going to appeal back here.
Maybe,
but maybe
it sells
her
book overseas because they're trying, you know, they've got overseas rights on all that.
That's right.
But there used to be a tradition in this country, and I know this president has upended a lot of traditions, to be fair and to be clear.
Yeah.
But there was a longstanding tradition for both parties. Partisanship stops at the water's edge. She's blown that out of the water.
Yeah, that's what I think makes this very remarkable this week, and especially given, obviously, this is a delicate, a moment in diplomacy with North Korea where, I personally don't think a lot is going to come of it, but this is kind of a big moment where the president is trying to make a major agreement to make the world a safer place. And, yeah, I think a lot of people would say, what is the strategy here to knock it from overseas and suggest, as she does, that America can't be trusted? I'm not sure
especially
that's the message.
Since she negotiated the Iran nuclear deal, which even supporters of it say hasn't exactly worked out. And she's been very critical of the president's approach to North Korea when the Clinton and Obama administrations had their shot and the problem got worse and worse. Doesn't it seem like we're at least moving towards peace now?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't put a lot of faith in this dictatorship to come around. I think we have been through this before, but you're right, that history, perhaps give her a sense of humility, given the fact that the Bush administration, the Obama administration, when she was there, things didn't really work
out. Her husband's administration.
Yes, that's exactly right. And on the Iran deal, you know, she didn't close it, but she certainly set the table for that agreement while she was in office. And, perhaps not a disinterested observer.
Maybe off the stage at some point. Move on.
We'll see.
James Freeman, it was a great article. We appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Ed. Good to be here.
Yeah, James Freeman with the Wall Street Journal insight there. The Hillary Clinton scenario and narrative continues. But, you know, again, you have to realize that she's a globalist. So she looks at it as a standpoint that, you know, it can go beyond the water's edge because there's no water's edge as far as Hillary Clinton and, the Democratic Party are. I mean, it's about... It's not certainly not about America first. You know, it's about the global community being first. So it's like, OK, so she's taking taking her complaints to the global community and trying to see what kind of following she can generate there, because there's nobody following her here domestically within the United States, or I say very few people, compared to what she had going for her in the campaign, which was really, by comparison, when you looked at her rallies, not all that many anyway. So, you know, until her last breath, she's going to continue to stick with that story. That's what you can expect from one Hillary Clinton. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got more coming up.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
They tell me it's Dance Like a Chicken Day, huh? You know, it's good to know these days, you know, otherwise you're liable to miss something. National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. I did that yesterday. Had to have a buttermilk. Maybe that's why I did. All of a sudden I had this hankering for a buttermilk biscuit, and I dove in, but I restrained myself because I'll tell you, nothing like hot biscuits out of the oven, right? Oh, my goodness. A little bit of honey and butter and, you know, it's all kinds of good fun. And Stars and Stripes Forever Day. I wonder if many people even realize, especially our young kids going to school, of what that means historically and what is going on. You know, what is the argument today? And when you see that millennials seem to be gravitating more towards socialistic ideals, and you go, do you really know what that represents? Do you realize how many socialists, how many socialist leaders in the name of their, you know, religious political system, because that's what it is, how many people they killed? I mean, millions of people. And we're saying, hey, that's what we want here in America? Really? It is just blatant ignorance. And I think it's a bad commentary on the educational system today. They think it's all good because they're in their, they're in their echo chambers in the faculty lounges, just spouting off this stuff. You know, theoretically, that's the thing that was so scary for me about, the Obama administration was there was a lot of theory. You know that, you know, hey, why not? Well, let's negotiate with everybody around the world with, you know, without any preconditions. Okay, on the surface, sounds good. It sounds like something you would have a conversation, you know, with a bunch of other like-minded people. Say, well, the problem with America is that we're just too hoity-toity, and we think it's all about us. And, you know, if we were more humble and maybe if we groveled a little bit, then world peace would really happen. And not only that, is that we would redistribute. You know, we'd get all this prosperity that America has generated over the years and intellectual property, all that good stuff. And we're just going to share it with everybody because that's the way it, I mean, really? I mean, you're the president of the United States and that is your decision. You're going to make that decision. What about we the people? What about the Constitution that says we the people are in the position of authority? See, and this is what still I'm waiting for to happen is finally we the people say enough of this stuff and revolt and start putting pressure on this political system to say, okay, we are going to enact a budget. There is going to be a budget amendment that says you must live, live according to the budget and to what you can afford. What a novel concept. You know, households around America do this on a daily basis, but our government doesn't. They feel like they have an unlimited supply of checks. And on top of that, you've got politicos that somehow find a way to get their fingers into the Treasury and divert it for their own personal interest and for their reelection purposes. And they give this money out and, in a sense, are buying votes. And this is what's been going on for a long time. And we, the people, have kind of sat by and said, okay. And idealists who think that that's all justifiable because it supports their agenda, if it didn't, they'd be up and screaming about it. But that's not happening. Because they're getting away with it, whether it's Elon Musk, who's created, you know, quite the empire. You know, really, you think about it. You talk about the probably the ultimate in corporate welfare. It's Elon Musk, all in the name of, you know, environmentalism and all these good, you know, warm and fuzzy things that the left loves. But meanwhile, we've made Elon Musk into this genius, and he's just living off the people's money. I mean, what a deal if you can get away with it. And what a deal, you know, if you're, you know, a Democrat and you can divert, you know, public funds so that you look like the good guy. Is that what this is all about? I mean, how is this right? But, you know, people who have got to reclaim their rightful authority position. Now, understand that that authority position is given to us, we the people, by the Constitution. So it's not like you have to go and, you know, yes, we're probably going to have to go and take it to the Supreme Court and they're going to have to judge this. But look, we're not that far away. And that's what's threatening to whether it's the deep state or those elites who have taken over our government and operate in the shadows. And we've got to clear this up, ladies and gentlemen. And you tell me if Hillary Clinton would have been in the White House, if we'd be anywhere close to this and even realizing how bad it is that our government has been taken over by this nefarious force. And in a sense, our Constitution has really kind of turned into a bit of a joke because they scoff at it and they mock it because they don't honor it. I mean, they tell everybody, hey, I'm going to raise my right hand and I'm going to, you know, swear my allegiance, you know, to protect and defend, you know, the Constitution, domestic and foreign. You know, I'm there. I'm your guy. I'm your gal. And then they go on and do their own thing because they figure that we the people are too stupid, you know, as Jonathan Gruber so blatantly said. And when he said that, he said it in a way, it's not so much that he said it, but the manner in which he expressed it. It was like, you know, don't you idiots know that everybody knows this? Everybody knows that the general public is stupid. So that's why you needed Obamacare and you needed this government imposed concept of health care, which is not health care at all. Really, it's not. I mean, you know, Dr. Jane Orient, you know, hopefully when you were listening last week that you understood and caught that the health care that the government is, they do it all under the guise. See, they don't give it to you straight. You know, it's like, you know, what they talk about, they frame it in such a way so that politically it's confusing. You know, for the everyday American, you go, well, what are they? Is that good or bad? I mean, you read some of these, you know, here we are, we're going to the midterm elections, and I'm looking over some of the, I happen to be in California right now, and I'm looking over some of the propositions that they have posed there, and I'm, my goodness, it's like they're purposely confusing. I mean, when you vote no, you're really voting yes, and when you vote yes, you're really, I mean, how is anybody supposed to understand this? But they purposely write it this way. And then when they go to vet it, my good friend out here in the West, which I keep encouraging him, you know, that he would set up franchises around, you know, around the country that would do all the vetting. I'm talking about Craig Huey, who's a small business owner here in Southern California. And he's done this for a number of years with electionforum.org. And he vets all these guys. And I'll tell you, the most difficult people to vet are judges. And they do the best of anybody that I've been able to see. Because judges know the game. They know, hey, look, if I declare something, I could lose votes here. So they don't answer any questions. Somehow, because of their legal authority position, they're able to kind of, you know, just side-saddle the stuff and avoid answering any kind of questions. Kind of silly, right? It's unfair. It's not right for the voters not to know who we're voting for, but they purposely keep it confusing. So propositions and everything else, the only people that we really know are the people that are running for office, and you know, and so we're able to kind of understand what they represent. But again, you know, the challenge here for everyday Americans is regaining that rightful authority position that belongs to us because the Constitution says it so. And the first thing you need to do is register to vote. Second thing, get out and vote. And even before all that, get educated. Make sure you know what it is that you're voting for, even though it's a little bit of a challenge, admittedly. I understand.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, June 1st through the 4th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and more. Get tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez live.
I was blinded, you gave me eyes to see.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us. And as always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. All the information right there is there for you, our gift to you, because we're givers. Lou Euler, speaking of givers, the founder and president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, one of the nation's leading grassroots taxpayer lobbies, joins us. Lou, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Great to be with you as usual.
Hey, great to have you here. I want to get your comments. President Trump says, hey, look, it. When it comes to tax reform protection and the expansion campaign, count me in.
You bet. The entire focus of the next 6 months really ought to be to protect and then expand tax reform. We have to take Schumer and Pelosi at their word, and that is if they were to take charge of the Congress, they would repeal or try to repeal tax reform, and we have to block them in their tracks, keep this expanding, because this is the best thing to happen to America in decades, frankly.
Yeah, pretty incredible that Schumer and Pelosi were quick to scream that, you know, those taxes, they were limited, and they were only limited because that's the rule, and they did nothing to help, but then they're the ones complaining about it, and then they come out and say, well, forget about those tax cuts, because we're going to reverse course. We're going to do those tax cuts what the Republicans have been trying to do with Obamacare.
Absolutely, and yes, the peculiar and arcane rules of the Congress, especially in the Senate, where they had to use a process known as reconciliation, limited the amount of cuts that could be made in tax revenues over time, and so they put a limitation on the effective dates of these various rate cuts. So the Republicans now are committed to making tax reform permanent, and so that's where we're headed now with a instead of 4 or 5 year cutoff, make it permanent and benefit the entire nation.
Well, this is what we're learning here the hard way, Lou. President Obama had a pen, as he said. I got a cell phone, I got a pen. Lots of executive orders. He's not too happy that some of those are getting reversed because they should. I mean, like the Iran deal, they were bad deals. And, you know, thank God we're under new management. And, you know, maybe our Congress would learn from this as well, is that you can't allow a president to run wild like Barack Obama did. Otherwise, fortunately, when you've got somebody who's a constitutionalist like Donald Trump coming back saying, hey, look, whether it has to do with DACA or any of these other unilateral actions that the former president has taken, they need to be secured and anchored in the process constitutionally by the Senate and Congress, correct?
Absolutely, and certainly what Trump has done with respect to Iran is much needed, and it will help chart a new course in that part of the world and actually give the old Persians who are sick and tired of Khomeini an opportunity to react.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what he's doing, and that's perfect as well.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on their government. We understand that their economy is suffering miserably. They are the Middle East version of Venezuela right now. And so this is going to make the crowds rather cranky. And as Donald Trump said, look, you're welcome to be a part, a positive part, a contributing part of the international community. We will throw out the red carpet for you. We're not going to send billions of dollars in the middle of the night. But if you want to earn billions of dollars in the international community, because you're a positive resource, God bless you, come on in, you're welcome. But if you're going to be taking money and taking advantage and then, setting up, you know, all these infatadas and these attacks on our allies, and support Hezbollah, well, you're not in the club. You're on the outside looking in, and you're going to suffer, and the people there, sadly, in Iran are going going to suffer, but it's up to them to decide, you know, how they want to be governed.
Well, and, you know, we've had as our allies the Israelis for decades now, and Netanyahu is a great ally. The Arabs are great allies, and we simply have to work with them in the right direction in the Middle East. And so the unraveling of the Iranian deal, which was a very bad deal, is exactly right. And what the president should do.
Well, you know, here it is. Barack Obama, John Kerry et al. Said it was to keep Iran from going nuclear. Marco Rubio, Donald Trump et al. Said no way. It's a road to nuclear proliferation and nuclear attainment for Iran. And this is exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu exposed last week, not only to Donald Trump, but the international community, including the allies who are part of this this joint agreement. And so it's up for them to decide. Now, I understand that they're playing their cards, you know, consistent, saying, hey, look, we're still going to honor this. But they know that with America out of the deal, it's going to implode. It's unsustainable without America being in.
That's exactly right. And what is nice is to see that the president is applying the same principles to international rule that he is to domestic rule and tax reform. Mm-hmm. And that is, what is in the best interest of America?
Right.
What is in the best interest of American workers, American citizens, the future of America? And that is the unifying theme of his decision-making, is what is best for America.
At the very core of all this, Lou, is people working, getting back to work again. Look at the unemployment rate. It hasn't been this low in 20 years, and it could be the lowest ever, which Trump loves the hyperbole. If he can be the best at anything and, you know, have the highest GDP ever, the lowest unemployment, this is what, you know, gets him up every morning, the challenge that's there. And the fact that we're even to where we were 20 years ago is astounding, because they thought, I say they, all these brilliant commentators and those progressives never thought in a million years that a gazillionaire white guy from Manhattan could turn this country upside down and get us working again.
No, you've framed it beautifully, because here is a fellow who throughout his adult life, his business life, has been a creator. He builds things. He's a builder. He can see what America needs in new infrastructure, etc. And that's the beauty of it, having a leader who has done things, built things, and that's what he's holding forth for our future.
Lou, remind everybody how they can be in touch with you, the website and that.
Sure. They just come to limittaxes.org and join us in our campaign to protect and expand tax reform for America.
And be a part of the Truth Squad. Lou Euler on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Lou.
Important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you've lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie Guide. I would like to invite you to a free health lecture where I'm going to educate you on how to flourish with better health now and in your golden years. We will be at the Holiday Inn Airport, Springfield, Missouri. Registration time is 6:30 p.m. This is May 18th. You can give us a call for free registration at 833-WALLACH. That's free registration, 833-925-5224. 833-925-5224.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, when we pray, all across that stage, when the church wants to pray,
back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and Richard Sander joins us now. And Richard is a nationally acclaimed UCLA law professor and co-author of the book, Is America Moving Toward Racial Integration? That's the aspiration. It is the hope. Richard, what do you say?
Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You know, we started this book trying to understand what happened to fair housing. There was a major fair housing law passed 50 years ago, and there's been a lot of dispute, but not a lot of data about exactly what impact it had. And we found that it was actually very effective in reducing housing discrimination. In other words, how minorities are treated in the housing market.
Mm-hmm.
But it had much more mixed effects on racial integration, for reasons that we then try to untangle. But the other big thing that we found was that where racial integration did occur on a metropolitan scale, in other words, when a city and its suburbs collectively achieved a certain level of integration, remarkable things happened to black outcomes. You started seeing a shrinkage of all these gaps that have troubled us for so many decades, like the test score gap and the unemployment gap. earnings gaps, they all start melting away once you have a certain level of metropolitan integration.
Mm-hmm. And so with the metropolitan integration, why there and why not across the board?
Well, so it's useful to compare a couple of the polar cases, like San Diego and Chicago. And it's also helpful to have a concrete measure of what we're talking about. Social scientists use something called the index of dissimilarity, which takes a value of 0 when you have complete integration and 100 when you have complete segregation. And, you know, most ethnic groups are clustered to some degree, like Italian-Americans and Chinese-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually in the 30s and low 40s on this index,
mm-hmm.
whereas African-Americans historically were in the 90s, very highly segregated. And what you see in a place like San Diego is that has fallen now to levels in the 50s or in some cities in the low 60s,
mm-hmm.
Whereas places like Chicago are still in the 80s. So the question is, what accounts for that difference? And
exactly.
What we find is that in very soon after the fair housing laws went into effect, places like San Diego started having a lot of migration from other metropolitan areas into what we call outlying white areas. And it makes a big difference, it turns out, whether blacks who are migrating in response to fair housing laws move to areas that are very close to existing black concentrations,
mm-hmm.
or move into areas that are further away, what we would call pioneering, racial mm-hmm. pioneering.
Right.
And if you have these moves that are into adjacent areas, then frequently what you see is the number of blacks moving in greatly exceeds the number of whites moving in, and you get steady racial transition. So blacks at the end of the day have more housing. They have a larger housing market, but it's still highly segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in places like San Diego, if you get a critical mass of moves to outlying areas, a certain amount of black pioneering, then that sort of expands the vision of blacks of where they can live in the metropolitan area. And it creates a self-reinforcing cycle that moves towards integration.
Mm-hmm.
And you also see whites in those areas then saying, oh, well, you know, the black areas are no longer all black. There's more diversity here, so
right.
I'm comfortable moving into those areas. So all those things feed into one another in sort of a virtuous cycle.
Richard, did some of this occur? I grew up in Southern California, and I saw a dynamic that occurred in the Pomona Valley. And this was after the Watts riots, when blacks, it was more of a kind of a forced migration into the Pomona Valley. And when they left, when the blacks left the areas that they grew up with in the Los Angeles area, it like gave them an opportunity to redefine. I mean, this is quite the study in human sociology when you break it down. But I could see in part where maybe, you know, some of the things that you let go were bad, some were good. Some of the presuppositions, you know, when birds of a feather flock together, the oral tradition remains the same. There's doesn't seem to be room for any kind of compromise or maybe new understanding or new information that would allow for, you know, some harmony. Did you see that dynamic coming into play?
We think so. You know, we know that there is, we know that when there's a greater level of integration, then lots of observable behaviors change. I think there's less agreement and, frankly, less research about exactly what's driving that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sort of suggesting there are important cultural factors, and
right.
and I tend to agree with that. You know, I think that African-Americans in more integrated areas become less defined by their race,
mm-hmm.
and they just start thinking of themselves in different ways,
right.
and they absorb different norms, and it's easier for them to find out about different types of opportunities from the other people that they're interacting with. You know, you find that in schools, if you have, for example, busing and you achieve school integration that way,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't seem to have much impact on black test scores. There's still a lot of social distance within the school. But if the neighborhood is integrated, then you really see an impact on test scores. So
mm-hmm.
it does seem to require a more kind of multidimensional interaction. And a feeling that you're not just sort of put in there, but you are actually, you know, you're part of a different community.
I can imagine some people say, well, you know, we have to start to do something here to integrate. if we do it with forced busing, that's just one step in the process in hopes down the road. I would hope that when people made this decision, they saw the fulfillment of a trajectory that would, you know, eventually, you know, sooner than later, because meanwhile, you're kind of, you know, you're doing this at the expense of a generation, are you not?
Yeah. You know, I think, and I think our data shows that strategies that are, that sort of mandate integration are often counterproductive. So a lot of the school desegregation experiments in the 1970s didn't work well, partly because, you know, there was still segregation within the schools, partly because there was a lot of white departure, not only from public schools, but also from central cities where those schools were located.
Mm-hmm.
And you see similar things when there's a big public battle over locating subsidized housing in a middle-class area or a white area. It becomes kind of a rallying point for resistance and creates a flashpoint that's sort of the opposite of what you want to achieve with integration.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that, you know, much more effective strategies are those that are more subtle and work with the market and try to change people's incentives so that they consider more integrated places as feasible places to live.
Well, and we're going to get into this more in this next segment because we only got about a minute left on this segment here. But, you know, what I am observing here, Richard, is that Black America, for the first time, at least in my lifetime, has kind of gone, you know, through this process. They've been able to evaluate, you know, what it has, you know, what's happened to their culture. And you have some Blacks who have been successful. And they've tried to, you know, kind of give a handout to other Blacks to say, okay, look, at follow my lead. This can happen for you. But, of course, there's antithetical forces that have benefited from, you know, the antithetical position to then call them Uncle Toms and, you know, kind of discredit their advancement and, you know, and invalidate what it is that they're bringing to the conversation here. And I want to get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break. We're talking with Richard Sander about his new book, America Moving Toward Racial Integration. More from Richard on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez live.
You are the end of my dreams. You are the soul of me. You are the one that I can win. This is my life flag in the wind. Every word just speak. It's the air I'm free.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, the question remains, in America today, will we ever be unified? Can we truly be the United States of America? Well, one of the co-authors is with us, Richard Sander, and in the jacket of the book, it says, reducing residential segregation is the best way to reduce racial inequality in the United States. African-American employment rates, earnings, test scores, even longevity, all improve sharply as residential integration increases. Did you hear that? Yet far too many participants in our policy and political conversations have come to believe that the battle to integrate America's cities cannot be won. Richard Sander, who we're talking with, and the co-authors, Yana Kucheva and Jonathan Zavlov, have written that the pessimism surrounding desegregation in housing arises from an inadequate understanding of how segregation has evolved and how policy interventions have already set many metropolitan areas on the path to integration. Richard, it almost would seem that when the people started, and I say the people, the political forces began to social engineer, it was like they weren't sure what they were going to end up with. It was like, it almost seems like, hey, we kind of need to do this, but we don't, we haven't even considered the unintended consequences. Is that fair?
Well, I think it's definitely fair to say that when we started a lot of fair housing efforts in the 60s and 70s, no one had a very clear idea of what were the underlying mechanisms they were trying to address. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was obvious that housing discrimination was a problem. And was really quite intense in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty clear that state laws didn't have a very big impact. I mean, most state fair housing laws were not very aggressively enforced. Mm-hmm. So dealing with discrimination was clearly the first step. And as I said before, the Fair Housing Act did a pretty good job of that step. Discrimination rates went down a lot. So, you know, we should give credit where credit is due. But there was no kind of follow-up plan. And a remarkable number of people making policy assumed that much of the segregation that was still there was just economic. It was just poor blacks not being able to afford to live with affluent whites, which really wasn't the case. You know, that 100-point scale that I told you about before,
right.
You can get down easily to segregation levels in the 30s without changing anybody's income across racial lines. So a lot of the integration strategies were focusing on subsidized housing and trying to sort of a housing equivalent of the busing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think was just a way to maximize political opposition and minimize practical effect. They were much more modest and yet long-term transformative things that we could do that would really change the way people migrated within metropolitan areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of housing choices that they considered. So the difficulty has been that a lot of the dialogue on both sides of the political spectrum has just tended to be very simplistic about segregation.
But, you know, some of the dynamic that took place here, Richard, is natural. You know, you've got that old axiom, birds of a feather flock together. So, you know, here it is, you know, blacks, Hispanics, you know, they start, you know, moving into each other. They understand each other's culture. It's a comfort zone. And before you know it, you have something that really is working against them in terms of if we are the United States and we're a blended community, you know, if we want to hold on to our own factions, we do it at our own injury. And in this case, for Black America, it held them down. But in those areas where, you know, they did, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, assimilate and kind of blend into the community, it afforded them an opportunity to rise above what was typically occurring in other, you know, African-American neighborhoods.
Yeah. You know, the difficulty is largely an artifact of starting at very high levels of segregation. If you compare it with, say, the Italian-American community, you know, Italian-Americans in the early 20th century were segregated, but they were never segregated the way that blacks were. There were never areas that were 100% Italian-American.
Mm-hmm.
So there were mechanisms in place that made assimilation much easier. And, of course, it also helped that, you know, Italian-Americans were often indistinguishable from other whites.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easier to intermarry and you know, learn English and do that assimilation. When you've got a group that's as physically distinct as African Americans, and you have a lot of socially imposed segregation, that creates a significant barrier to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
But what's exciting is that we did overcome that in quite a few metropolitan areas. If you had the right kind of demographic chemistry, then integration happened on a larger and larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key is trying to figure out how to get that chemistry right in other cities. Again, I don't think it's a matter of large scale social engineering, but doing relatively modest but smart things,
mm-hmm.
that really chip away at segregation on a sustained basis, and try to get the cycle of integration to become self sustaining.
How much of this is, in a sense, kind of psychological, you know, because you have, you know, Black America at times held back by some of its leaders in trying to have them look back at the past as opposed to the future. You have progressive blacks like a Kanye West, you know, trying to, you know, nudge people. I see him trying to nudge Black America out of that rut of being the victim, if I can say this, of course, and he's been attacked because you have those forces that have done very well to, you know, by keeping Black America at odds with the rest of society.
Yeah, the focus of a lot of civil rights efforts is on racism.
Mm-hmm.
And that almost encapsulates what I think is a counterproductive way to go. Because when you talk about racism, number one, your message to the African American community is, well, you know, whites are racist, so you really want to keep your distance.
Mm-hmm.
And the message to whites is, you know, blacks don't respect your moral character. They think that you are still as prejudiced as your grandparents were. So that, you know, that strategy can highlight a problem like police shootings, but it comes at a big expense to the broader dialogue about race because it polarizes people. And what's really striking to me is that opinion polls show not only that African Americans do want integration, but that whites are very open to integration as well.
Exactly. I more so than ever. More so than ever. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because that has been my observation as well, Richard.
Yeah. National surveys, you know, there are some that we show in the book. The trend lines are really amazing. And it's also true if you measure people's behavior. A very high proportion of whites now move into neighborhoods that are very diverse racially. Some of that is gentrification, but a lot of it is just people becoming less concerned about you know, the particular racial character of a neighborhood. It also helps that America has become more multiracial, you know, and places like San Diego and Seattle, where there is a lot of black-white integration, that's partly lubricated by having many other racial groups around, so that it's not seen as sort of a zero-sum competition between two groups, but it's more like multi-ethnicity is the way the world is.
I think that we've learned a lot just in the world of sports that we observe. You know, teams come together, they're of diverse backgrounds, and, you know, you don't see teams saying, hey, look, at because LeBron James is black, you know, he's not one of us. Or any other black player for that matter. It's like, look, if you got the goods and you bring it every day and you're performing and you're helping us win, hey, we've got the same jersey. It's okay. So we're kind of getting to that point where that ideal is being assimilated into our society. And I think that, you know, from black America, what I've observed is, you know, they're tired for the fight. White America is tired for the fight. And just saying, hey, why can't, in the words of Rodney King, why can't we just get along, you know?
Yeah, and we need to figure out how to sort of get the momentum towards integration going again. You have, you know, in a place like Chicago, you have some African-American families that moved into white neighborhoods in the 70s. They saw that neighborhood go through resegregation. They moved again into a white neighborhood, and again, there was a racial transition process. And they're thinking, you know, why am I taking a hit on my housing equity and making these moves, and it's not producing anything?
Right.
And yet, you know, we can now see that was part of a larger sort of dysfunctional process that was defeating integration in Chicago. But similar moves in other metro areas were really producing integrative effects, and we can do that everywhere.
Well, Richard, you and I could be talking for days on this book, Moving Toward Integration, the past and future of fair housing. As you say, you started with fair housing, but its implications is quite holistic, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Well, we appreciate all the work that you've done. Richard Sander, Yana Kucheva, and Jonathan Zasloff, their book, Moving Toward Integration. And I agree with Richard. I think we're closer than we've ever been to really being able to realize integration that would be win-win for all, would it not?
Indeed.
Well,
thank you for having me.
Very good. Hey, Richard, thank you for being with us.
Yep.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period.